1 Samuel 16. If our Lord preached from this on the road to Emmaus, and I feel certain he did, he surely preached about David, because Christ's name is the Son of David. David's name is mentioned more than any person in all of the Scripture, other than our God. Now, when we think of David, as I go through this, I want you to think of Christ, okay? This was David's purpose for living. He lived to represent our Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, our Lord lived to represent David before the Father. David was just a man, but he was made mighty by God. Christ is the mighty God who was made a man. David was made just and righteous and great and wise. Our Lord is the just one. He is the righteous one. He is the great one. He is wisdom personified. David was captain of the Lord's people. Christ was David's captain. David was a great sinner. He sets up, "Pardon my iniquity, for his great." Our Lord was his great Savior. David, as I said, was born and lived to represent Christ. And our Lord was born and lived and died, and now ever lives to represent, to intercede for David. David, as Christ, was God's beloved. God's beloved. Acts 13. Paul was preaching. He said, he reminded the people that God said that I've sought me a man after my own heart. And I want you to turn to 2 Samuel real quickly. Some of these, there's so many scriptures, but some of these you'll really be glad you turned to. 2 Samuel 18. David was God's beloved. God loved David. David loved the Lord. And he said so often throughout the scriptures. God said so of David and David of his Lord. But 2 Samuel 18, the people loved David too. It says in verse 3, 2 Samuel 18, verse 3, David's getting older and the people don't want him to go out to battle with them. And they said to the people, "Thou shalt not go forth. If we flee away, they won't care for us. We're not worth anything. Neither if half of us die, we're not worth anything. But thou art worth 10,000 of us." They thought, he's the fairest of 10,000. And that's our Lord. And David was shepherd of the sheep. John 10, our Lord said, "I am the good shepherd." David wrote of the good shepherd. Who was David writing of? The Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 34, God said that. Now, this was after David had died. In Ezekiel, let me read it so I won't misquote it. But now, this is written, and it's often throughout the prophets written, speaks of David as if David were still alive. No, he's talking about the son of David. But listen to Ezekiel 34, God says, God said, "I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David." But David's dead. And he's talking about the son of David. "He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and make with them a covenant of peace." That's all Christ did. David was dead. That's what Peter preached at Pentecost, didn't he? When the Lord said he would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. He said, David's dead. You find his bones in a grave over there. But now David was talking about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So David was a great shepherd of the sheep. David was captain, conqueror, savior. We might look at the next chapter. You know what's in that? Giant slayer. First thing David did was face that giant That's the first thing Christ did as a man, is face Satan. David was the anointed of God. He was the prophet, the anointed of God. And Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me." David was a brother. These brethren of his were sorry. They were sorry men, but David was not ashamed to call them brethren. And they rejected David. They later received him. And he made them captains in his army. David was their brother, and David was a friend to them. David was loyal, and David was faithful to them. He stuck closer than a brother. David was a friend of sinners. You remember old Mephibosheth? Merciful man. That's our Lord. David's name means loving. That's what his name means, loving, or lover, and beloved. Well, that's our Lord, and he is altogether lovely. The people love him. He loves the people. He's a lover of his people, and they love him. David Edmondson, if you're listening, he often listens to this before on their way to their services. They're an hour behind us. David, if you're listening to this, we love you, brother.
Amen.
You're lovely to us. And I want to be your friend like Jonathan. But David, his name means loving, and our Lord is the beloved of God. God said of David, he called him his beloved, and God spoke out loud concerning his son. This is my well-beloved son in whom I am well pleased. All right, chapter 16. We'll just go through these verses. The Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Saul was rejected. Saul was man's king, wasn't he? The people said, "We want a king." Samuel was a good prophet. Samuel was all they needed, didn't it? But they said, "No, we want a king like the rest of the nations." God said, "No, you don't. You don't want the king that you want. You want the king I provide." But Saul was rejected, you see. Saul's a picture of Adam. Saul's a picture of the first Adam, rejected. Adam was a king of sorts. Maybe a little lower than the angels, but he put him over all his works, Psalm 8 says, doesn't it? But now that speaks of Christ. But Adam was a king, and he ruled over that. But Adam failed, and Adam all died too. All of Israel would have died if God hadn't provided David. Israel was God's people, and so he provided them a king, and him a king first. But Saul was rejected. But God had another king, his only king, his true king. God said, "I have provided me a king." And you know, later on, Saul hated David, didn't he? He found out, he knew who God's true king was. And Saul hated him. Saul was an evil man. And Saul represents this old man in us who doesn't want this man to reign and rule over us. Our old man wants to be sovereign. We want to be in control of ourselves. That's the world. That's the old man. That's Satan. Satan, like Saul. And Saul tried to kill David, didn't he? He can't. You're not going to take his life from him. God has made him king. God said, "Touch not my anointed." You're not going to touch him. David died in old age. But Satan and this old man hates God's Christ. There's only one king. Only one can reign. Right? Only one can rule. Only one who has free will. There's one Lord. Right? We'd love to have it so, though. Aren't we glad? I don't want to reign. Do you? I don't want to rule. There was a time I did. I don't now. Oh, subdue my sinful will. That's what we pray. So the Lord said to Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. Every name in Scripture is significant. God's names. Jesse means existent. The existent one. Well, that's what Jehovah means. I am. Well, sure, Jesse's existent. Well, but he represents our Lord's Father now. The I am, the great I am. He said, go to the house of Jesse, to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. He's in the first mention of David is Bethlehem. Well, what does that mean? House of bread. Didn't our Lord say, I am the bread. Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. My Father giveth you the true bread. I am the bread, the true bread. Come down from heaven. The first mention of our Lord, at least as a man, is in Bethlehem. Born in Bethlehem. That's where David was born. That's where our Lord was born. God says, I have provided me a king. This is my king. Psalm 2. Start to have you turn there. You know it by heart, don't you? I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. God's king. And he said, fill your horn with oil. You're going to anoint him in front of, in the midst of his brethren. And that's exactly, David wrote a whole psalm, Psalm 45. Well, it's not the only one. Well, it's the Psalm of the King, Psalm 45. He said, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of things concerning the king. Like Isaiah 53, I'm sure David, when he was writing that, he wasn't writing of himself. And I know he's thinking of Christ. And his tongue, his pen was just writing and writing and writing. He said, thou shalt anoint him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. David didn't think he was above his fellows. Though David was, though God made him so, yet David was one of them. When they was right in the middle of them, walking amongst them, fighting with them, for them. That's our Lord, made a man. Like unto David. Verse 2. And so Samuel is sent. And this is what all the prophets are sent to do, right? To him give all the prophets witness. Every prophet writes of and bears witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's their purpose. That was Samuel's purpose. Samuel's purpose, his reason for existence, Samuel, was to come up to this point to anoint David, to set forth David as the king of Israel. And then not long after that, Samuel dies and goes to be with the Lord. His job is done. Like John the Baptist. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. So verse 2, Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hear it, he will kill me. You see? Samuel's coming to anoint the king of Israel, the true king. Now this would-be king, this Saul, this usurper, man's king, hates the Christ and he hates those who preach him. Our Lord said this, which of the prophets have got your father's gift? That's what the Lord said. So Saul would have killed Samuel had not God protected him. And here the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I'll show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. So Samuel came to anoint the king and to make a sacrifice. Well, that's what every prophet does. That's what every preacher, that's what every pastor is sent to do, to set forth Christ and him crucified. Christ the King and Christ our substitute, our burnt offering, our sin offering. So that's the purpose of the prophet. And he's going to David's brethren. That's who's going to be called to the sacrifice. You hear that? Who is called to the sacrifice? our Lord's brethren, our Lord's people. That's what he called. They came. We might, I don't know if I'll preach on this from 1 Kings, but there's a story of how that a man who thought he was king, next in line to David, had set himself up and had a big gathering, invited all his friends to anoint him king. And they went and told David, and they said, You put Solomon on a mule, I think, and you ride him through town, and you make this decree, this is my king. And the only ones that were invited to that, or called to that coronation of Solomon, the son of David, was the high priest, the bride, David's bride, Bathsheba, a sinner, and the son was there, and those that loved the son, the king's son. And I just preached it to you. That's 1 Kings. But so Samuel did, verse 4. He came and did that which the Lord spake, and all God's preachers and prophets do. Thus saith the Lord. He came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. The elders of the town trembled at his coming. You know, preachers, prophets among God's people, they have great respect. They have the respect of the people. We're not to fear any man, that's for sure. But we're to hold in high esteem those who preach the gospel for the gospel's sake. Now, this generation has no respect for preachers. And most of them, I don't blame them because they're much a fool, but not God's preachers. Samuel did that, and they came. Comest thou peaceably? Are you here in peace? He said peaceably. Why? How do you bring peace? Come with a sacrifice unto the Lord. Oh, yes. And, you know, we don't preach peace, peace when there is no peace. That's what the false prophets did. Peace, peace. That's all they say, peace. That's Jeremiah 23, that's what it said. They say unto them that despise God, no evil shall fall you. Peace, when there is no peace. They're not preaching Christ as sacrifice. The only sacrifice, the only way we can have peace with God. They just preach a generally benevolent and loving God who loves everybody and just wants everybody to have peace and all that. And if you'll accept him, if you'll accept him and let him into your life, you'll have peace. It's up to you to have peace, you said. No. That's not what Samuel preached then. That's not what we preach. We preach as one who hath obtained peace for us by the blood of his cross. Now, you believe on him, you'll have peace. You rest in Christ, you have peace. In this world, you have tribulation. But only in Christ will you have peace. In fact, when you believe on Christ, the war begins in this world, within and without. In this world, the war began. But here, by the authority of God, you've got peace with God and the rest. Yes, I bring peace. Peace with God by the blood of your substitute. In verse 5, he says, sanctify yourselves. Come with me to the sacrifice. He sanctified Jesse, his sons, have called them to the sacrifice. Now, Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Scripture said, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Christ said, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified. Doesn't it say that? Doesn't our Lord say that? So this sacrifice and all is what set them apart. He tells them, sanctify yourself. Well, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sanctified. You're sanctified. And yet, in this sense, David says, come out, leave home, leave your family, leave everyone, come apart. And our Lord said, come out from among them, be ye separate. In other words, this is what sanctifies and sets apart God's people from all the world. What do? They come to bless and rejoice and crown the king and to come to the sacrifice of Christ and Him crucified. This is what sets them apart. This is what they do. This is what they want to do. He said, sanctify yourself. Come apart. Come, leave what you're doing and come to see the anointing of the King and the sacrifice, the Lord's sacrifice. And this is what God does through the gospel and what we want to do. He said, Paul said, God had chosen you from the beginning through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel. Come out. The gospel says, come out. Where? Where are we going? To see the King. To anoint the King. To the sacrifice of the King. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, called them to the sacrifice. That's what we're called to do, worship the King. It came to pass, verse 6, when they were come, that here they come, okay, the sons of sons of Jesse. All right, the first one was Eliab, or Elihu. And Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. The Lord said, don't look on his countenance or the height of his stature. So Eliab must have been the tallest. And that's what it says right after Samuel, being a man, said, this has got to be him. Eliab came up, and he's tall, dark, and handsome, evidently. He's the oldest son. Surely the oldest is the one who's going to reign and rule. No, the elder. Don't you remember Samuel? The elder shall serve the younger. And no. God's no respecter of persons. Don't look, that's when our Lord came as a man, scripture says there was no beauty about him that we should desire. Nothing about his face or his features that would distinguish him, make him beautiful in the eyes of men. Oh. God looks on the heart. And God said, this is my well. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. Those babies are born, and you don't care what anybody thinks. You're going to think they're the most beautiful babies in all the world. There's no beauty about him that we should desire him. No form nor comeliness, meaning his form was not above. Saul was head and shoulders above the rest of them. And people looked at Saul. Saul was a bad man. Eliab, in the next chapter, despised David. You know that? David came, sent by the Father, to look on his brethren and to bring them food and wine and all that. And Eliab accused him of being proud and haughty. And that's when David said, there's a cause. And you're not able to do it, Eliab. I'm sent for this cause. Bless God. I believe God broke Eliab later on. I hope so. But no, God said, this is not him. Don't look on his outward countenance. And by the way, verse 7, it says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. People use this as an excuse to say, well, it doesn't matter what I look like, or it doesn't matter what I do, all that. The Lord's looking on the heart. He doesn't say that. This, keep it in context now. David, Samuel was impressed with this man's outward beauty and form and all that. And he said, surely this is the Lord. Surely this is the one. Because he looks good to all of us. God said, no. God doesn't see that way. Man's sight is limited to the outward. Right? God doesn't judge that way. But God does see everything. His eyes behold everything. The inward and the outward. Okay? And out of the abundance of the heart, it comes out. What's on the outside is a manifestation of what's on the inside. Does it matter? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Faith without works is dead. You can say what you will. Oh, God knows my heart. He sure does. And that's when Scripture says, often God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, what you're doing. He's watching what you're doing. First thing he said to all the churches, I know your works. But the first thing and the important thing and the primary thing is the motive behind it, the heart. And man can't see that. Man can't see that. But God does. And he said, I've provided me a king after my own heart. A heart for the people. Saul was a taker. It's what it said. You read the story of Saul, the first part of it. We went through Samuel years ago, every verse. And Saul took their sons and their daughters. He took from them. He made them slaves to him. He took. When David came forward and said, He giveth. I started to have you turn to one place, speaking of the bread. It says David dealt to every man. When he brought the ark in, he dealt to every man, every person, a good loaf of bread and a flagon of wine. Nobody brought anything. David provided it all. David didn't take anything. Everybody volunteered to serve David. Made them willing because they loved David and because he first loved them. That's Christ. That's him. So then Samuel went to the next. Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And the Lord said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and Samuel said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Who's doing the choosing here? Huh? Was Samuel there asking for volunteers to be king? Huh? Oh, no. God said, you go, I've chosen my king. So we don't make him king, do we? You don't let him be Lord of your life. God did that. And maybe, hopefully, God will let you know and cause you to bow and see that he is your king. That you don't have any power, any will over anybody or anything. Never have, never will. Maybe, hopefully, savingly, God will make every one of us in this room to know he is your Lord. Don't you love to have it said? Now bow the knee. God did the choosing. God chose his king and God chose his people. In Christ. Who is chosen first? Who is God's elect? Christ. Christ did. Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. We are elected in him. You see, this whole thing is about David. Those brothers were just bystanders, okay? They had a vested interest, all right. But this is not about them. Mm-mm. Samuel didn't come to, tell them how much God needs them. No, Samuel came to tell them, there's a king amongst you, one chosen. Psalm 89 says that. Turn there. This is wonderful. Psalm 89, this is wonderful. What I'm thinking about, we need to look at it. This is just marvelous. Psalm 89, God said, David wrote this in verse 19. You have it? Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidst, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. Are you talking about David? I'm talking about Christ. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God. and the rock of my salvation. I'll make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. The Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that marvelous? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, man, I love it, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. No, the Lord didn't choose you first. He chose Christ. And he chose you in Christ. These brethren, later on, they were mighty glad that David was their brother and David was their king. Like Joseph's brethren, they hated him at first. But David didn't hate them. So Samuel said unto Jesse, verse 11. Oh, this is my favorite story in the Bible. Right now. He said, are these all your children? And Jesse said, no, they remain at the youngest. Things should have started clicking in Samuel's head. No, the oldest, no. The youngest, the only one left is the youngest. That's it. And what's he doing? He's keeping the sheep. He's a shepherd. Oh, Samuel said, he's a shepherd? Moses was a shepherd. Moses was the youngest. It wasn't Aaron. It wasn't, sure wasn't Miriam. Moses was a shepherd. Kept the flock. His father. He's a shepherd. And Jesse said, he's a good one. Jesse said, he's a great shepherd. Let me tell you what he did. That young boy of mine. Well, a bear and a lion both came and got one of his little lambs. And he went after that with his bare hands and smote the lion and smote the bear for one little lamb. I tell you what, Mr. Samuel, David's a good shepherd. He has never lost a sheep. He's never lost one. And if he loses one, he'll go after it till he finds it. And he put it on his shoulders and bring it all the way home. Like he loves that little sheep more than himself. Samuel said, you better bring... He said, look at this verse. Oh, can't contain myself here. Verse 11, he says, Send for him. Christ is the sent one, isn't it? Father sent. Fetch him. Go lay hold on him. Bring him in. He said, we're not going to sit down. We can't sit. We can't rest till he come hither. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them that were under the law. And he accomplished redemption, accomplished salvation. And his last words on this earth were, it is finished. A rest. We can rest because Boaz, our Boaz, finished the work. Bought us with his own blood. And went back to glory where he sits. See, we can't sit with God. We can't sit with the saints. We can't sit together in heavenly places unless Christ gives us a seat. Unless Christ does the work for him. We won't rest until he comes here and fights our fight for him. So they sent and they brought him in. I love thinking about that. What did he look like? See, it is ruddy. So here they came. They're all waiting on the son, the youngest, to come in. Waiting on the Lord's anointing. And they brought him in. All right. Where's he been? Out in the field. Fighting bears and lions. Keeping the sheep. And what's he smell like? Smells like the field. Scripture says here, it says he was ruddy. Meaning his face was red. Wind burned from the dew of youth was on his brow. He's young. He's only 16, 17. You know that? Just a lad. All right? He's got the dew of the morning on his face. His face is red, but from activity and exertion and fighting for his sheep and feeding the sheep. And he comes in and looks around. Everybody's looking at him. The prophet's there. God's looking. Here he is. A beautiful countenance. Beautiful. Goodly. Now look at how the scripture says this. Goodly to look to. That's what it says. I'd be curious what these modern perversions, how they say that. I bet this says good, look at. Goodly to look to. This is the one you're going to look to for everything, for your salvation. And the Lord said, now here's what the Lord said to everybody in that room. Arise. Anoint him. This is he. Arise. That's hard to have you arise, right? John, that's why you love that song. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appeared. Before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on his hand. My name is written on his hand. Arise, my soul. God says to all his people, arise, anoint him. This is he. This is the one. This is your Redeemer. This is your King. This is your Lord. This is your righteousness. This is your Savior. This is your brother. This is your friend. This is your salvation. This is he. This is him. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. They all saw it. This is he. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. And Samuel rose up and went home. Paul said concerning the gospel, he said, I'm called to be an apostle, like Samuel was called to be a prophet. Separated unto the gospel of God. Samuel was the preacher of the gospel, which he promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what the gospel is, concerning God's son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power. What declared David to be God's King? The Spirit of God. The prophet. All right. And it says here in Romans 1:4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit came upon Christ, anointed of the Spirit. And God says, this is it. And by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. This is he. Okay.